All right, I've said it a few times today. We need to do a much, much better job of taking care of and protecting the people who take care of us. This happens far too often at different hospitals, happening with dire consequences in York not too long ago. Let me welcome in Kevin Clark, UPMC, Altoona. Kevin, why don't you let me know before we get going so I don't screw it up, because I have it written down, but I may have messed it up. Both your title at UPMC Altoona and your title with the union.
Hi, Colin. First of all, let me say thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Sure.
Again, my name is Kevin Clark. I'm a registered nurse at UPMC Altoona. I've been employed at that hospital for about 15 years, and I am currently acting as a negotiating committee board member and a delegate for the SEIU Healthcare PA.
And those are people whose boots are on the ground, who are in there every day like you, and a crushing situation, a violent situation at UPMC Altoona involving a man who's been identified in a bunch of different media reports as Travis Dunn inside that hospital. Tell me what you know and what happened and how we can prevent this moving forward.
Right. So the incident that happened over the weekend was devastating and downright terrifying. You know, we unfortunately didn't learn about the incident until a few hours later, whenever it was communicated through fellow coworkers and things of that nature. I can say that the hospital has been rocked by this. You know, you hear of different things happening in other hospitals throughout the country, throughout the nation, and you never really think that it's going to hit this close to home. And the fact that it did, like I said, it's terrifying. The whole hospital is kind of on edge right now.
Right. And what happened was he was assaulted by a patient who is now facing aggravated assault charges, accused of seriously injuring this patient care technician. And what ways can he was repeatedly hit in the head, flown to Presby here in Pittsburgh, emergency surgery, brain bleed, fractured skull, all of those terrible things. Are enough protocols in place, Kevin, to keep people like you and keep patient care techs, nurses, doctors, to keep them proactively safe?
So there are safety measures and current practice protocols in place. Generally speaking, though, we feel as though the hospital can do better. And again, this is a nationwide problem. We're seeing increased numbers of healthcare providers being attacked by patients. You know, the very patients that we're taking an oath to protect and serve in our communities. It's very difficult whenever you don't have adequate resources for staffing and things of that nature to not only serve and protect these people, but to also make sure that they're safe within the confines of our facilities.
I know that I read after the tragedy in York that happened, I believe that was in February, so many people who worked there, they spoke to the media and they said, we know that sometimes people need mental health care, but we can't keep them here. They leave, and we fear they're going to come back and make us the bad guy, and that's precisely what happened in York, Kevin.
Right. And unfortunately, like you said, with mental health patients that come in for evaluation and treatment, they're often very, very unpredictable. You know, these people are having breakdowns and they're emotionally unstable and you never quite know what they're going to do. And it's very important for healthcare providers as a whole, as a team, to be able to safely and effectively and proficiently care for these people. You know, when you're facing staffing shortages and staffing crises and things of that nature, you know, it causes increased frustration with wait times and, you know, things being delayed. So that compounds on top of everything else. And it makes it very, very difficult to handle these patients and to avoid heightened circumstances and, unfortunately, incidences happening such as the one that happened over the weekend.
Kevin Clark, UPMC Altoona, also the SEIU. I've read today, as I was doing some research for this, the amount of verbal and physical abuse from patients who, as you said, maybe in a crazy mental state, maybe you've waited long, maybe think you can just talk to people or act that way towards people is absurd. And some of it goes unreported, Kevin, because you guys simply need to just keep it moving and treat the next patient. Are a lot of people, do you think, in the general public unaware of the amount of grief that you get every day simply in the course of your job?
It does. And unfortunately, that is part of the job, as you say. I don't think the community as a whole realizes the dangers that we inadvertently put ourselves in by, you know, placing ourselves with multiple patients who are experiencing these circumstances, unforeseen circumstances at any given time. You know, and it's very hard to explain to people how difficult and how dangerous this job can be sometimes. You know, people are unpredictable. You never quite know what they're going to do. One minute, you know, they could be talking to you completely fine. The next minute, you know, something may change. They're frustrated. They're angry. They're, you know, what have you. It's very difficult to navigate that.
Have good nurses.
And we want to make.
Oh, go ahead.
And we want to make sure that, you know, we have increased safety standards and protocols in place. Not only what we do have active now, but, you know, we call on facilities like ours, UPMC Altoona. UPMC is a healthcare system and other hospitals in the area to heighten the awareness of, you know, the potential dangers that frontline providers such as myself are seeing and actively encountering on a daily basis.
What are those practical elements? More guards, more safeguards, more people at the front? Like, when I say, okay, draw it up, how do we make it safer? What's your response?
So when you look at the healthcare system as a whole right now, I think it's basic public knowledge that, you know, bedside nurses are leaving in drones. You know, and there is a staffing crisis nationwide. We know that. Speaking from a local hospital standpoint, you know, I can say that right now we're operating with 300 plus less RNs than we've had in previous years, which, again, only makes things a lot harder to manage and harder to control. And, you know, we've called on UPMC throughout various discussions and things of that nature to basically enhance what we already have in place, right? We want to make sure that our patients are looking at this hospital as a safe place, as a safe haven. You know, they come to us seeking help. We want to ensure that not only are they receiving top-notch care, but we want to make sure that they're safe and they feel protected while they're in our care. And one of the things specifically in response to RN ratios, you know, we're seeing ratios as high as 789 patients to one nurse, you know, and that's substantially increasing over the years due to the staffing crises. And one of the other discussions that we've had extensively with administrators at our local hospital is the implementation of metal detectors, more than what we have currently. One of the other proposals that we had was to have visible signage throughout all areas of the hospital that inform patients that, in fact, it is a felony to verbally or physically assault a healthcare provider that's taking care of you. And probably the most important thing out of all of this is to have an increased presence for security and police officers, you know, within the facility that are able to respond whenever unfortunate circumstances such as these happen, you know, to make sure that not only the patient is safe, but, you know, anybody who's directly or indirectly surrounded by, you know, that environment, whether it be patients, staff members, you know, what have you. We want to make sure that we have adequate resources available and staffing available to intervene quickly to minimize threats whenever they happen.
Kevin, you're a good man. You're fighting a fight that I think anybody in their right mind would get behind. You're the people who help us and keep us safe and mend us and heal us. So I don't know who would not want to be behind you. Thank you for joining me today. It's a very strong message. Unfortunately, it comes on the heels of a terrible, terrible incident. I appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. It's sobering. It really is when you hear that. And if you ever spend any time in hospitals, you know just how darn important all the nurses are and all the staff and all the techs and people like that. And, man, it just, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to be treated like that. All right, we'll get back into Corey O'Connor in just a little bit, but I heard something there that's... Oh, and before this hour's out, I can't believe Tony Moreno didn't get more votes, considering one thing that he said in answering a question. It blew my mind. But anyhow, these people are at it again. The people on this planet who overvalue themselves more than any other beings who have ever walked this planet.
The job action would begin November 13th, the day Starbucks plans to give out free reusable red cups, typically one of Starbucks' busiest days of the year. Al Gilstrap is a Starbucks barista in Richmond, Virginia.
There's a lot of layoffs that just happened at Starbucks, and we're not happy.
Workers at about 550 of Starbucks' 10,000 company-operated stores in the U.S. are members of a union called Starbucks Workers United. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
I don't go to Starbucks. I don't enjoy it. I don't like the coffee. It's too acidic for me. But what will we ever do as a society? Do you think they'd ever be able to find other people who can make coffee? These people, again and again and again, just the hubris of them. They overvalue themselves. I don't know. They failed in freeing Palestine. So now these goofballs just stay on it and on it and on it. And I'm just so lost on their warped sense of self-importance. You know, they got new shirts. They got new clothes. They get an education stipend. They get free coffee. It's if you read through the perks of what you get for working at Starbucks, it's actually a pretty darn good deal for that job. And they gave these people 2 inches. They want 58 miles. Listen, tell them to hit the road. We'll hire somebody else. That's the best move Starbucks can pull off. But I guess in the year 2025, you're not allowed to tell people to do that. It's work. You're supposed to work. And then you get paid a fair wage and benefits, which is what they're getting already. 866-391-1020. We'll talk some Corey O'Connor. And wait till you hear how Tony Moreno answered one question. It's hard to blow me away this did. 391-1020, 866-391-1020. Listen for the drive at 5. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Call ServiceMaster. We'll do that. Coming up at 5, I do want to talk about Corey O'Connor a little bit. And I am stunned that Tony Moreno lost with great answers like the one he gave to one outlet, which I'll get into in a little bit. But listen, Republicans locally and nationally, they got themselves to blame. Honestly, I call it down the middle. I'm not registered in either party. So I don't care if both like me. I don't care if both come at me. Just is what it is. You got yourself to blame. You're kicking yourself today, complaining about Mamdani and this and that. And Mamdani's going to screw up New York City. There's no question about that. But here's where Republicans, locally and nationally, only have themselves to blame if they're mad at the results yesterday. Democrats, especially progressives, the crazier, the more voluminous, they show up. They mobilized. And not just for the presidential election. Every time they show up, they get to the polls, or they mail it in. They figure it out with their feet. You want change? Take note. And not just the presidential election. You showed up for Trump. You showed out for Trump. You made sure at the very tippy top it happened. But a lot of ways, what happened yesterday, just as important. Your school board, your county, your city, things like that. Not that Tony Moreno can't be the mayor. But in other places, judges, if you didn't like Wecht, or if you didn't like any of them, right? Daugherty or Donahue. But you might complain, or you may scratch your head, but how many of your contemporaries in your party made it a point to show up? Not as many as in the Democratic Party. Now, I get it. In this part of the world, there are more Democrats. But even proportionately, by percentage, they always show up more. The loonier, the more of them. They find a way. So you only have yourself to blame to some degree. 866-391-1020. I do want to talk about Corey O'Connor and his first order of business, or at least a few of the first orders of business, coming up at about 5. Ralph's in Pittsburgh. Hi, Ralph.
Colin, I want to talk to you about something in regards to Tony Moreno. Okay. I don't know if you noticed or not. The Republican Party put him out to dry. All right. And I'm going to bring up three names, and this is the truth now. All right. I don't come with lies. Todd McCollum, Jason Ritchie, and Lenny Arroyo. Those three guys. Lenny Arroyo was his campaign manager.
Iorio.
Iorio.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Was his campaign manager, and then he stepped away. Todd McCollum screwed him, and then so did Jason Ritchie. They took money that was earmarked for him to run for mayor and support him and gave it to Corey O'Connor. All right. That is the truth now. I personally believe, Colin, that if he had that money and more support, as you said, from the Republican Party and wasn't hung out to dry, I think he could have won that race.
No.
Even with money and support now?
Tony Moreno could have had the most powerful Republican in the country come to his aid, and he wouldn't have won.
I disagree with you on that. I think if the local Republican Party would have took that money that they gave to Corey O'Connor and gave it to Tony and helped him really win this and get out there, like you said, the progressives, they're out there screaming and hollering, and
other than Trump? Take like Brooke Rollins or somebody like that. She could have showed up and said, "Vote for Tony Moreno." And half the city would have gone, "You crazy lady?" He could have had $10 billion. He wouldn't have won. I'm sorry. I don't know how else to square it with you. I don't think people screwed the guy. I think that there's no way in the world he was a good candidate.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question then, Colin.
Sure.
Let's say, and I know you wouldn't do it, but let's say if you ran for politics and the main key people that were involved to help you in your political party turned around and walked away from you and took money and gave it to your opposing candidate that you were opposing, how would you think?
Well, first of all, I find these all they're unfounded unless they're founded. That's number one. Number two, I'm too honest to run for office. People don't like me because I'm honest. And number three, they've got to get their ducks in a row no matter who the candidate and actually find their best candidate. Like Jim Rocky, okay? He was a good candidate for Allegheny County, right? But
yes,
they found
was.
Out no matter how good of a candidate you put forward, there's going to be people that vote simply on party lines, and that may never change during our lifetime in Allegheny County.
Yeah, well, Jim Roddy was a Republican, and he ran for the first county council.
Correct.
Executive.
Joe
thing.
Rocky,
yeah.
I should say. Yeah. I apologize. I said Jim.
Yeah,
Joe
Rocky.
Rocky. Yes.
Yeah, I know Joe. Yes, I know Joe Rocky. And, you know, I really wish he would have won that race because I think he would do a better job than who we have in there currently.
Yeah.
You know, so
I don't disagree. But this twisting, contorting, trying to find a way to make Tony Moreno a good candidate, it's not anything personal for me. It's just first of all, he's not a Republican. Second of all, he's grossly underqualified to run for, I think, council, let alone the mayor.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then.
So you're asking a lot of questions here, Ralph, but go ahead. I like it.
Well, what kind of grossly underqualified do you think? The man cares about public safety. He was an police detective.
Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this?
Go ahead.
Not everybody who worked with him thinks he was a very good policeman, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I've heard you say that. Yes, exactly. All right. So anyway, he cares about Pittsburgh as far as public safety. Public works. Okay, he was going to fix that up. Get that money, in there. We have to have good public works and public safety. These progressives, they don't care about public safety, Colin. They don't care about anything.
Well, I get it. I understand all your points. And I think at the top of the hour, I'm going to tell you exactly why Corey O'Connor is going to migrate away from them. And the only thing, if he's smart, the only thing in common with them is one letter behind his name. I'll get into that in just a little bit. Demand the yellow van. Told you all about it. ServiceMaster. That musty smell in your basement, those dark spots on your wall. Don't assume it's old house smell. Nope. No. Could be mold. It might be mold. What if it is mold? Well, it spreads. It damages. It threatens your health. ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh doesn't just paint over the problem. They find the source. They remove the mold. They restore your home the right way. Do not cover up. Don't settle for that. Get it done right. Eradicate it. Demand the yellow van. ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Now, we'll talk about Corey O'Connor in just a little bit, top of the hour. I'll give him some unsolicited advice. But I did find something that is emblematic of how Tony Moreno did not get more votes than he did. So, the Pittsburgh City Paper, which is not worth the paper it's printed on, and it's not printed, is it still? I don't know. It's a hatchet job all the way around. Anyhow, it used to be good for a bunch of a schedule for like all the concerts around town and things like that. It used to actually be really good for that, but I don't even know about it anymore. Nonetheless, they talked to Tony Moreno not long ago, and some question was about the environment or something, okay? Here is how he answered it. And then you've got people wondering, is this really the best we can do in terms of from one of the two parties? Come on. This is exactly the answer that he gave the city paper, excuse me, about the environment. And I'm going to read verbatim. Here we are. I want to tell you something, and I think it's the right time to bring this up because you asked me. Nobody's asked me about this question specifically about the environment. I don't know if you've been to old Las Vegas on Fremont Street. You know how they have that giant canopy that goes over when you walk down the street? What I want to do, and I've talked to some people that are from Carnegie Mellon that are going to help me do this, but to create a canopy over the top of our four major streets around the city where all this traffic is lined up. The canopy would have carbon-eating plants. The canopy being a skeletal system matching what a Fremont Street looks like, but has English ivy that would grow over it, and it eats carbon at the highest rate of any plant. It would use the top three carbonating plants in this structure with a watering system that takes condensation and stores it inside of the pipe. And that uses gravity to water the plants. And then uses solar to have a lighting and entertainment sound system that goes through the structure. It'd be Grant Street, Stanwix, Boulevard of the Allies, and Fort Duquesne Boulevard. And these vehicles are sitting in this traffic. If we can capture some of that and just have it eaten up by these plants, it'll help. It'll be a step toward naturally taking this away and beautification of that area. We haven't done anything in those areas to free up traffic or make it better. This dude's either living in 2058 or he did a bunch of bong rips before this interview. I saw that answer, and it is not fake. That was how he answered something. I'm not making fun of the guy. I'm just going, he's either the smartest dude on earth, or it's just plain wackadoodle stuff. But he was one of the two finalists for mayor of Pittsburgh. The guy who won, we'll talk about coming up in just a couple moments.